Hey, this is Rachel Butera. Make sure you tune in to First Impressions on May 10th.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media Interview. On today's show, I'll talk to comedian and impressionist Rachel Butera, who, if you're a comedy fan, you may have already heard over the years on The Howard Stern Show, or seen her on NBC's America's Got Talent. This summer, she'll compete against other comedians on USA's new Dana Carvey series, First Impressions. It airs Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. Stick around. There's no telling who'll show up on today's show. When Rachel Butera appeared on the TV show America's Got Talent in 2014, the man who declared himself America's judge had to disqualify himself from voting on the Impressionist talent because he was the one who already put her on the map. So after she squeezed Wanda Sykes, Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, and Joan Rivers into 90 seconds of vocal magic, there was only one thing that Howard Stern, the king of all media, could say. And he said, "You're somebody I believe in, Rachel. I'm proud of you." Rachel's comedy and impressions do her Jersey heritage proud. The Bloomfield native lets her characters rip, both in language and tone. And in addition to working as a stand-up and frequent TV and radio guest, she also has a growing body of work in commercials and cartoons, which makes sense when you experience the full range of her voices. This summer, Rachel will appear on the new USA Network comedy competition series, First Impressions, starring Dana Carvey and hosted by Freddie Prinze Jr. It's a funny show, populated by impressionists, and airs Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. But you don't have to wait for Rachel's episode of First Impressions to air before getting a taste of her work. Just follow her almost hourly insights on Twitter, at Rachel A. Butera, and you'll read updates such as, "I just pulled a long gray hair off my vibrator. Life just keeps looking up." Rachel Butera, welcome to Mr. Media.
That's the best intro I ever had. Thank you.
Glad you liked it. You never know, you know, when you get... You get to that gray hair on the people might be like, "Okay, time to tune out."
Oh my God, all my tweets come back to me.
Yeah, I'm sure you never put anything on Twitter that you wouldn't want to be remembered for, right?
No. Well, the thing is you put it up there and you're like, "Oh, this is so funny at the time and I don't care who sees it," but then somebody like you reads it back to me a couple months later and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's right, I did say that."
And I added the emphasis. You couldn't tell where the emphasis was on the tweet, so
totally.
Maybe, you know. Now, so I gotta ask you, am I wrong in the impression that you're kind of a late bloomer in comedy?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I didn't really start doing anything until I was 39.
Wow.
Yeah. I was working in corporate America. I wanted to be a writer. I was a writer for years, and I was just kind of rotting away in a cubicle in North Jersey, and then the Howard Stern Impression Contest came along, and my life really kind of changed overnight, you know?
That was the first one you did was 2010?
2010, yeah, okay. September.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me about that. I guess you were, like most people in that area, listening to Howard daily?
Yeah, I was a fan for 20 years, and I always wanted to go on that show. And then I heard that they were having this staff impression contest, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is the one thing I can do to get on that show. I have to enter." And so I sent in a bunch of MP3s of, you know, various people on the show or guests of the show. And a week or so later, I heard them playing everything and saying my name, and everybody was texting me all over the, you know, the state, and like it was the craziest thing ever.
Had you done any of them publicly before?
I mean, I just do them to entertain my friends. I've always been doing voices, but never on that kind of level, no.
So you hadn't done any stage work at all? Any high school musicals, nothing, that kind of stuff?
Nothing. I was in one college play. I think I had one line. It was like a play about AIDS. Really depressing.
Really?
And one line is the mother or something. No, I just never – I don't know. It was a weird – I guess I had no – chutzpah, so to speak. I didn't know.
What were some of the impressions you did for the first contest?
I did, for people who know the show, I did Tracy, who used to work on the Howard Stern Show, and she would call everybody a douche. That was one of the big ones at the time. And Little Lupe, the porn star. Oh, God. I love bad a place to have them. So everybody loved that one. And then Underdog Woman, the woman who wears the cape and dances around in parades like Underdog. I don't know if anybody knows who these people are, but they're associated with the Stern Show.
Suzanne Muldowney, right?
Yeah, Suzanne Muldowney.
My Sirius subscription was active for many years. And she actually liked your impression from what I saw.
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I was supposed to go down and meet her. Shuli and I were supposed to drive down South Jersey, and I was going to give her $500, but that never happened. I still owe her $500.
And so how did it go over?
Oh, it was amazing. It was incredible. Howard gave me so much airtime, and everybody was so complimentary. And it was, you know, I was competing against really good guys. And it was just astounding. Like, all of a sudden, they said my name and that I won. And they brought out this $5,000 check from Avion Tequila. And I was just like, you know, the whole thing is surreal when you're undergoing it. And, the weeks that followed that were just crazy at work. And, you know, like, I was sort of back in my cubicle. I'm like, now what? I was just on the Howard Stern Show. Everybody knows me. I gained like 1,000 followers on Facebook. I'm like, now I'm sitting back at this cubicle rotting. What am I going to do? It was weird.
What did you do?
I just waited. I waited for offers to come in. I was like, I did get a call from Abrams the next day. My agent, Billy Zero, in New York, he's like, I heard you on Howard Stern. I think you're fantastic, and we want to meet you. So I met with them. I started going on some commercial auditions, but nothing was really clicking because I didn't have any real experience in voiceover. So it was sort of just like, she can do all these crazy voices and impressions. She must be able to do everything else, but I don't think it worked that way. So I just went back to work. I was reading audiobooks, narrating audiobooks on the side, going on auditions, and just kind of waiting. And then a cartoon out, some guy, Jim Shaughnessy, who was doing a cartoon out here in LA, said, I need a voice match for this. Can you do it? I sent him an MP3. He liked it. And he said, can you come out to California to do this cartoon? And that was really the catalyst of moving from the corporate job into the entertainment world.
So what was the cartoon?
It was called Effin' with Tonight, and it was for Sony Crackle, and Jim had Patrick Warburton attached to it. So my very first experience in LA was recording in Titmouse Studio, an animation studio out here, with Patrick Warburton. We were there at the same time.
Wow.
I mean, it was just crazy. I was like, oh my God, I got to move here. This is what I have to be doing. And then we took it to Comic-Con that year, and we had a panel, and it was amazing, and I just decided I got to move out here. This is where I belong. And so like almost a year from the Howard contest, I was living in LA.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Plus, people probably don't realize that when you record animation like that, it's very unusual to actually be in the same room with somebody that you're recording. Usually the parts are recorded separately.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's been mostly my experience, you know, from that point on. I don't know why we were in the studio that day together. Somehow it just worked out. But I was like, I'm here with Putty from Seinfeld. Like, flipping out, you know? Like, oh, my God, this is what life is like in L.A. So it was unusual, and it was really good. And I met Billy West also, you know, of Howard Stern heritage, and he was in the studio too. So it was just wild.
It was funny because I was going to ask you about Billy West. I didn't realize you had met him. Did you get to, you know, talk to him a little bit about, you know, the business, and did you learn anything from him?
That day we didn't get to speak a lot, but I met him a couple of years later on a podcast. We sat in on a podcast together, and we talked about stuff. And he knows me, and I actually saw him shopping at the supermarket. I think we live in the same neighborhood. So we know each other, and we never did the lunch thing. Like, let's go out to lunch and talk about it, like everybody says in LA. We haven't done that yet, but we know each other. We've had some conversations. But, yeah, we're not, like, tight by any means. But he was, like, my inspiration. I mean, those years when he was on Howard, I used to sit there and be like, God, I want to be Billy West. I could do all that. I could do all those voices. And then I would imitate Billy's impressions, and he was just off the charts. I mean, so good.
And so what's happened since – so 2011, I guess, you went out there. You did – and by the way, the people from the Comic-Con fans will know Patrick Warburton as the Moth.
Just one of the Tick.
The Tick. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Tick.
Joke,
right?
From Family Guy.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So, but you've done it, and since then you've done a couple more of the Stern contest too, though, right?
Well, then I did, then the next year I did the celebrity impression contests where I did Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, Wanda Sykes, but I didn't win that one, even though I should have. and yeah, and then there was that. And then the following year or the year after was America's Got Talent. So it's like, I don't know, I'm constantly in these impression contests.
And the America's Got Talent, now I hadn't realized, because I didn't watch the show to be honest, but I did find it, I found the clip. Was it just a coincidence that you got on there, or did Howard, you know, help you get to that point?
I don't know what role he had in it. I'm sure it wasn't a coincidence. I heard from the producers. They sort of reached out to me. And, yeah, I didn't know that he was going to exclude himself from the voting at that point. They didn't tell me until the day of. And that was fine. But I don't know if he was for it, against it, or what. I don't know if I couldn't continue on that show because of my ties to him. I didn't really know what was going on. But, yeah, they reached out to me. So I think they wanted somebody who knew how to do impressions.
It's a fantastic clip of your audition, because while he disqualifies himself, Howie and Heidi and Mel B were just blown away by you. I mean, that's an awesome clip to have.
Thanks. Yeah, it was really cool. And also very surreal to be on that huge stage at the Dolby Theater, 3,000 people screaming and the four of them sitting in front of you, the lights. I mean, my heart was like a jackhammer. You know, I never did anything like that before. So it was wild.
How have you made this adjustment to being in front of audiences? I mean, somebody, usually you hear the stories, well, you know, I was in high school theater, or I did this in college, or I did this. But I mean, you're basically saying you came to this with no stage experience, and at an age where most people have put aside such things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like Gregory Hines in History of the World, born to do it. You know, what I mean? I can only guess that. I mean, I've always like performed for my friends. I would always be putting on a show for them and trying to make people laugh. So I guess it just translates over. I mean, I feel like now that I'm in my heading towards my mid 40s, like I am a little bit nervous about getting on stage. I'm like, what am I doing stepping out in here? But at first, I was just like, yeah. I was in a band. I was singing. I love attention. I love being on stage. So I don't know. I guess it's just some latent thing. It's a shame it didn't happen sooner. Who knows? Who knows what could have been? But yeah, I just didn't know. I didn't know it was possible for me until later. I guess I needed validation from Howard Stern.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
So the years that you spent working in a cubicle, you're doing whatever task you were doing. But now suddenly you're performing, and your career, I gather, is based on what you can produce with your vocal cords and your mind, because you have to not only do these impressions, you have to think of something smart to say as that person. Have you sought out being in LA? Have you sought out any vocal training? Have you started doing any kind of improv with people, or how do you
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I got here, I joined up with UCB, and I went through a couple levels of that. And vocal training I've taken for the voiceover for the cartoons and stuff that I do. So I take ongoing classes with all the coaches and stuff out here. It is interesting, though. Like, I never used to get throat problems, but now it's like every month or so I'm dealing with – like, I woke up 2 days ago with a sore throat. I've got all this stuff coming up, and it keeps happening. So now it's just, I'm curious to see how mental it is. You know what I mean? Is it actually hurting, or is it hurting because I have things coming up? And this is stuff when I was just entertaining my friends, like that never happened. My voice never went out. My throat never hurt. But now that I do it as a career, it's a problem kind of all the time, you know? That's interesting. But yeah, I train with the people who've been teaching out here forever, cartoons and animation and a commercial, all that stuff. So yeah, you got to keep it up.
Have you, we talked about Billy West. Have you met other voice actors out there that,
Yeah, tons, so many, and such great people. I mean, Joe Cipriano, the promo guy, and Dave Fennoy, all these big names. Gray Delisle, she's like the big girl that does everything. I was in a cartoon with Tara Strong. Everybody knows her. She's in everything. Andre Soyuzzo, I mean, on and on. Yeah, it goes, Maurice LaMarche, Eric Bauza, everybody.
Maurice works a lot with Rob Paulson, doesn't he?
Doing
the anime. Yeah, Rob was on with us a couple months ago. It's just hysterical.
Yeah, they're amazingly talented people, and it's like I found my people. You know what I mean? I found the people who can do what I can do. And it's funny though, because like in New Jersey, like there's no girls that can do impressions. There's nobody really that can do impressions in New Jersey. It was like just me, and then I move out here, and I'm like, oh shit, everybody can do everything out here. So it's quite a humbling experience.
Well, of course, the girls in New Jersey, they're the ones who we're doing impressions of.
Yeah, exactly. There's like bitchy, Sam Italian, my brother's Vinny, you know, so all that kind of stuff. I was imitating them from day one.
Yeah, I grew up with those people. I'm from New Jersey. Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's why I said you're doing Bloomfield proud. and so can you, I mean, so you've been out there several years now. Can you actually earn a living doing this, you know?
Yeah, I am. I haven't had a day job since I moved here. I mean, I didn't have any money for the first 3 years. I blew through all my savings. I was living hand to mouth, crying myself to sleep every night. How am I going to do this? What did I do? And then things started picking up, I guess, last year. The bookings got a little bit better. And I also support myself through voiceover coaching. So I teach coaching for Edge Studio. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it ain't corporate dough, but it's a living sort of.
You're not having to drive an Uber on the side to...
I mean, I probably should.
No.
I'd be doing that, but I'm not doing it.
Okay. I watched some clips of you doing stand-up, and I don't know if it's part of the act or if it's true, but you talk a little bit about how your family basically gave you your start in doing comedy and impersonations, even though you didn't do it professionally. Is that part of a bit, or is that...
No, that's true. I mean, I'm from Bloomfield, New Jersey, so you know. Crazy. Italian-Irish, fighting all the time, everybody just kind of nuts, like screaming and yelling and eating and just, yeah, it's all true. I definitely have a wacko family.
And how did they respond? First of all, Jersey families to a large degree tend to be rather clannish. Nobody ever leaves New Jersey.
Yeah.
Know, right? How did they react to the news that you were giving up your job and going to L.A.?
I mean, they kind of supported me. My mother's always scared of everything. If she had her druthers, I'd still be in like, a woolen sack protected from the world. So she's just like, they got earthquakes out there and sinkholes and you got natural disasters. And what are you doing? You know? So she's like constantly worried, but my brother was all for it. My sister, well, I don't really talk to her that much. And my father's dead, so I don't know what he thinks, but I think he'd totally be in favor of it because he was kind of the entertainer in our family.
Really? How did he entertain?
Well, when he was a little kid, he was in the paper for like singing and dancing and speaking Italian and singing in Italian, and he was creative and stuff, but he got sick at an early age, so I think unfortunately that creative spark got kind of snuffed out and overshadowed by his illness, and unfortunately he didn't get to live up to a lot of his creative potential, but he was the one that like wanted to travel. You know, he sort of had fantasies about being famous, about doing this and that, whereas my mother was just wanted to stay safe and like, you know, like a little, I don't know what, in a blanket, you know?
Interesting. And what about friends? How did they feel about you moving off, and how, you know, have you been able to maintain those relationships? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I have the greatest group of friends, cousins, my cousin Jenny, she's, you know, like my best friend and sister. Everybody was super supportive. I don't even think I could have done it without their support. They threw me going away parties, and they were just, it was so hard to leave them, and it's still so hard. 5 years later, I think about them every day. I talk to them all the time. I'm going home in June. I go home for 3 weeks at Christmas. That Jersey tie, man, it's strong. It's a strong bond, and it's always calling me back, always.
That's nice. That's so let's talk about the impersonations themselves. I mentioned some of them, and you've mentioned some. You know, you do Joan Rivers, you do Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, Wanda Sykes. Wanda Sykes is killer. I mean, it's just...
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's really nice to hear that.
I mean, even if somebody doesn't know who Wanda Sykes is, you hear that voice and you go, oh, yeah, that woman. Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a back of the throat weird kind of thing with a sing-songy, and she's from Virginia, so you know, it's just funny either way.
Who have you added since you've been out there? Who's new to you?
Who's new? I've been doing Joan Cusack lately because I realize she's got this screwed up lip and a strange, quirky way of talking. So I've recently added her to the roster.
She's been doing, oh my God, now the show's gone right through my head. She was on the Showtime show.
Shameless.
Shameless, yes.
Yes, she played Sheila, and she was always screaming, Frank! Then she'd calm down and be her weird self like this, too.
And then she would take out all of her strange devices and use them on Frank, which Frank found that he liked, which was very...
I like to use a giant dildo in a man's ass. What do you say?
Oh my God! Yeah, it changed that character. Certainly, you know, I'm sure it created a lot of questions for John Cusack to have to ask, answer about his sister after that. How difficult? Well, not how difficult, but once you settle on someone whose voice you're going to impersonate, how important is getting the physicality of that person to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally important. For me, I can't do that voice unless I – because her lip is crooked and she's got really weird teeth and a lip. So, like, I can't do that without making that face. And, like, Rosie O'Donnell, you know, I kind of have to, like, purse my lips and make my lips a little bit tighter and, like, you know, show my teeth a little bit because that's what she looks like when she talks and how she moves and stuff. Certain ones don't really need the physicality, but like if I'm doing Chris Rock, you know, as well as a girl can do it, I always pace back and forth, you know, it's like back and because that's what he does. He when he does a stand up, he doesn't stand still. And so for me, a girl doing a guy, I need everything I can, you know, I need to use everything I can to kind of sell that impression. So the pacing, I think, sells a girl doing Chris Rock. And these are things that just – I'm not thinking about it consciously. It just comes out, you know.
Chris's voice gets kind of high and squeaky, right? That's what makes
it – It gets kind of high and squeaky, you know, and he does – he repeats a lot. He repeats a lot of things. He repeats a lot, you know, and it's like, all right, I'm a girl doing that. It's okay. But once you add, like, the back and forth, you know, how he does, like, on the stage, I think it sort of helps bring it to life. And then people are like, okay, we'll accept that it's a white girl doing an impression of Chris Rock.
And which one of you spits more, you or Chris, do you think? Because when you're doing that, I'm just thinking, I don't want to be in the way of that.
I think it's me, because for him, that's a natural speech pattern. And for me, it's, like, really forced. I'm sorry, my cat's meowing like crazy. Okay. Oh, my little pussy's making a lot of noise down here. Yeah. Go lay down. I'll touch you later.
Do you ever find – now, I don't know how you would know this, but do you ever find that you do impersonations in your sleep? Does it become a subconscious thing? And I guess you would only know that if someone overheard you in your sleep. So
no one's ever heard me do impressions in my sleep, but many men have asked me if I will do impressions while sleeping with them. The answer's no.
Who do they want you to do?
Oh, my God, on Twitter, it's like, will you have sex with me as Rosie O'Donnell? Will you give me a BJ as Wanda Sykes? And, like, you know, I want to have sex with you and hear you do all the impressions. I'm like, what? Why? Men.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a handle on it. So men want you as a lesbian celebrity to give them a blowjob. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I can see them wanting me to do the little Lupe voice because she's a star.
That's,
you know?
All right.
But I don't know why you would want – like, what would you want me to say in your ear if you were inside of me as Wanda Sykes? Like, what – you know, do you want to be like, oh, yeah, baby, give it to – I mean, wouldn't that just make you go soft instantly? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. And you know, yeah.
Yeah, ride me harder. Yeah, this is Whoopi. Take Whoopi's ass. Yeah. Take it. Yeah. I mean, like, what would that do?
I don't know. Plus, I mean, Whoopi, what is she, like 70 now? I mean, I just wouldn't.
She's getting up there. She's getting up there.
I mean, you know, lovely woman, I'm sure. But so we talked about the physicality and the voice. Now tell me about getting the comedy itself. As I said, once you have a voice down, you get the physicality down. It only works if you have something funny to say as that person, right? It's not just doing the voice.
I guess that's what people tell me. I don't know. I mean, I've always been a super highly observant person. I notice every facial tic everyone's got. I could tell you the color of anybody's eyes the second I meet them. I know what the way their mouth goes when they say certain words. I can, their mannerisms, I pick up on them. I'm just a mimic naturally. And so, you know, if you got somebody like Sarah Silverman, like she's got that sarcastic thing. And if you just listen to her for 10 minutes, you can make up a joke in the vein that she talks in. You know what I mean? I can anyway. And so, yeah, it's like you have to sort of get the humor of the person to make it all fit in with the voice. But again, I'm not thinking of any of that consciously. It just sort of comes really natural to me, you know? I don't like sit and write jokes like, what would Sarah Silverman say? How would she say it? Like, it just kind of comes to me naturally.
It's funny you mentioned Sarah. I actually interviewed her sister, Susan, just a couple of weeks ago. And it's hard to believe that they're from New Hampshire. I'd swear they could be from New Jersey with the way they talk. And
totally. Well, like, what Jews are from New Hampshire anyway? I feel like they were the only Jews in New Hampshire. You never hear about Jewish people coming from New Hampshire.
It's So who do you admire as either impressionists or comedians or – well, we talked already about some voice actors, so we know about Billy West and
Trace. I mean, my girl was Tracy Ullman growing up, you know, because she was doing all those characters and stuff, and I was watching her on HBO going, like, I can do those characters too. Like, look at all this fun stuff she gets to do. So I really liked her. I mean, when I was little, like, Rich Little was the impressionist back then. He was really kind of the only one, the main one. So I would watch everything he did, and I would do impressions, I would do his Richard Nixon and his Johnny Carson and all that stuff. So when I was young, it was them. But I mean, you know, as far as comedians, like Carl and Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Jim Gaffigan, Sebastian Maniscalco, Sarah's great. I think she's got some great insight, and Wanda's really funny. There's just so many. Chelsea Peretti is really good too. She's kind of on the upswing now. So many people, you know.
It's interesting though, you mentioned Rich Little, who was the gold standard for this in the 60s and 70s as an impressionist. But the thing that always struck me about him, he could do some amazing impressions. He wasn't particularly uniquely funny. He was just doing the impressions. That's why I asked about the comedy. You're actually you're a very funny woman. I mean, the stuff that comes out of your mouth when you're doing the impressions, I mean, you know, a lot of it's a little closer to the hardcore side because it's rude, it's crude, but it's funny. Rich Little didn't really invent a lot of comedy, which probably affected his career as the world changed.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a different time, you know. It was so much more innocent than the things that he did. And it's funny, do you remember that Christmas special he did where it was like a Christmas carol and he did all the voices?
Oh,
and the
I do.
I loved that as a kid. It was always on TV. And so my ex-boyfriend and I went back and watched it a couple Christmases ago, and we're like, his impressions were really bad and not funny. You know, it was really hacky. It's interesting to see it. So, yeah, he didn't really have a lot of material, but he was just – it was such a novelty of him doing the impressions that he rested on that. I don't know. I mean, it does help if you can be funny and write some jokes, I guess, to go along with the impression. Because otherwise you're just repeating back what they say in a movie or in their stand-up and stuff. You got to kind of have that fresh material to keep going.
Now, how many voices do you do at this point? Do you know?
God, I don't know. I just did a whole bunch. I sent in Amy Schumer. You know, she's like really popular right now, always talking about how ugly and unfuckable she is. Oh no, it's okay. Seriously, no, don't pay any attention to me. I'm not pretty. Mindy Kaling, what's up? I'm really happy to be on your show. You know, I'm not saying I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, but I am a feminist. Whatever. So it's just, I don't know. It just goes on and on. It's like, I always find a new one. Like, oh, I can sort of do that one. You know, I was hired to do, Susie Orman for a TV show. I am the voice of Susie Orman talking about your FICO score. So it's just, I don't know. There's just, it's kind of endless.
It's funny. I keep saying that, but I heard you do Susie on one of the clips, on YouTube. And I thought, Susie Orman, yeah, I mean, everybody seems to know who Susie Orman is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's a big character. I think she's a little less popular than she was just a couple of years ago, but people seem to know who she is, and that's good for me. I like doing obscure ones, you know? Like, my best impression is Anne Ramsey. Do you know who that is?
Anne Ramsey.
She's the old lady from Throw Mama from the Train. Erin, you're fat! that boy, I told you to give me the sausage nuts. Like, that's probably my best impression, but nobody knows her and no one cares.
And that movie is not getting any better with repeating at this point.
Totally not.
No,
yeah.
No. I was not surprised to hear you do Mindy Kaling. Last night I was watching. I heard you do a different voice, and I thought, it sounds like Mindy Kaling. So, yeah. Who's been the hardest for you to develop?
A really hard – the one that I really can't do is Oprah, which you'll – I think they show that in one of the promos for First Impressions. But she's just a voice that you have to kind of sound like her, you know? I mean, you can do the yelling Oprah, like, you're going to Australia! Are you got a new car? But that's like – that's kind of easy, you know, the more like calm Oprah, Gail, Stedman, and I – went over, we ate prawns and it was beautiful. Like, there's a different thing going on there that I can't quite dig into. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot that I can't get. My Lily Tomlin. Oh, you know, it's just, I think that's just wonderful. Blends into like something else. And so there's definitely some tough ones that I can't get. But I think if you make the face enough and if you say the right thing, you can sort of pass with it, you know?
I think you were pretty close on Lily Tomlin. You had the face. I was watching your face.
Thank you. She breathes a lot. I mean, her voice is really much deeper now, but back then, oh, everything she said was just punctuated with a breath.
How much do you owe to Howard? And how, you know, do you have a continuing relationship with the show at all?
Yeah, I still do voices for the show. I record a lot of MP3s and send them in. So I still do stuff for them. I mean, I attribute everything to him because if I didn't go on his show, well, first of all, if I didn't win that contest or go on that contest, I'd still be in a cube. I'd be working in pharmaceutical in New Jersey right now. And then because everyone loves him so much and listens to that show, when I came out to LA, everybody knew me. I mean, a lot of people knew who I was. And even today, I'm still getting hired because people are like, I remember you from the Howard Stern show. Yeah, you're great. You can do those impressions. I mean, I'm telling you, 5 years later, 6 years later, it's still happening. So I can't – it's all because of him and that show, you know, all of it.
Well, you're doing this show for that same reason. I recognized your name from – Stern, and you know, went and double checked to make sure it wasn't just my rapidly aging memory. But I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly who I thought it was. So I thought this would be fun.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So let's talk about First Impressions. I've seen the first episode. It's fun to watch, but it looks like it's got to be very hard work for the contestants.
How'd you see the first episode? I didn't even see the first episode.
I have my ways.
Tricky. You know, it was really fun, but it was nerve-wracking because it was all improv, and I'm not that confident in improv. I like to write things, and you know, I kind of like to have it in my head, so I was really nervous, but it wound up being super fun, very unlike America's Got Talent in that you didn't feel that sense of pressure. It was more just like a fun day of activities and games and stuff. And Dana Carvey was so sweet that it was so relaxing and the audience was kind of revved up and ready. It turned out to be like a really fun thing that I was excited about.
Tell people a little about the format. I know that you start with some impressions that you choose, and then from there it gets a little out of hand, right?
Yeah, then I think – so then they put a big bowl of impressions on the table, like people that they chose, and you have to pick one out and do the impression, and then then Dana and the celebrity guest have to guess who you're doing. And, you know, you can pick a guy, girl, old, young, it doesn't matter. You just have to kind of keep picking it and doing it until they guess who it was. So that was really fun. And then there was a thing where they set up kind of like a mock interview where Dana was like mock interviewing and he had to guess who the celebrity was. I don't quite remember because we taped it a while ago. But yeah, it was just sort of like off the cuffy kind of thing. So it was challenging and fun at the same time.
So they didn't prep you and say, okay, give us 10 impressions that you can do and we'll throw them into the bowl. They just threw people into the bowl?
They just threw people into the bowl. They were like, we hope you can do something. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, I think if you if you can just get a little nugget of who somebody is, you know, somebody's going to be able to guess who you're doing. Just put a little bit of effort into it and you can play that game.
I'm very impressed then, because I watched the first one. I think Craig Gass, who I recognize, was on the first show, and Dana Carvey and Steve Carell was the other celebrity judge. And it was amazing to watch the three impressionists do their thing. And I thought, oh, there had to be a little prep. They must have given them some idea the kind of people that they're going to be asked to impersonate. But no, huh?
No, I think they just did a list of like the most popular people that people would do impressions of, and then sort of threw it in the bowl. But that's why I liked it, because it felt so sort of natural and real. I was like, you know, I mean, I don't think I can tell you who I picked, but I picked somebody who you're like, how is a girl going to do that? And I did it. So for me, that kind of thing was really fun.
Cool. Do you remember who the other celebrity judge was?
On my show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Tom Arnold. That was
really
exciting. Yeah, because, you know, he's a guest of the Howard Stern show. So afterwards, I talked to him. I'm like, I love you on Howard Stern. He goes, I love you on Howard Stern. I'm like, no, man, no, no. That was really cool.
That's
it was fun
nice.
Having him.
Well, and somebody actually impersonates him on the first episode, so that's interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Tom's he's an interesting character. You got to give that guy credit for his career having endured. You would have thought that he would have just disappeared when he and Rosie broke up years ago.
I know. Yeah, I think he's like a fun guy. He's kind of like lovable, and everybody really likes him, likes working with him and stuff. He is one of the best guests on the Howard Stern show. He is so funny. His stories are amazing. His energy is great. Yeah, he was great fun to have as a celebrity, not judge. I don't know what they're calling him, guest, whatever, on that show. It was exciting.
Did you get to talk to Dana at all off?
Yeah, a little bit. We were sitting in the makeup chairs next to each other, and he's just so damn sweet. He's like, just relax, you know, it's no pressure, just have fun. And he's just like talking to me like he's known me forever. Very sweet and smiley, just a lovable, lovely man.
In the first episode, as they break to commercial a few times, they actually have him giving impersonation tips, which I thought was interesting. I wondered if he gave you any thoughts, any feedback, any.
No. I mean, he just kept saying to relax, which of course is the key to everything in life. You know, if you just chill and relax, everything's going to come out better. But he didn't give any specific tips about impressions. I think he just asked me like, have you just always been doing this? Like since you were a kid? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, me too. And we just sort of had that little bonding moment. But no, not really. No tips. I don't know what anybody could tell me at this point. I mean, I've been imitating people since I could speak. I don't know if you could teach this old dog any new tricks about impressions.
I was just trying to let that hang there for a second.
I'm like, hey, give me some.
Excuse me. You've got your episode of First Impressions coming up in a couple of weeks. What else is ahead? What else should people look for?
What else do I have going on? I am many voices in an animated feature film called The Adventures of Drunky that is now on Indiegogo. They're crowdsourcing. Is that what it's called? Fundraising? I don't know.
Begging.
Trying to finance, and that's an awesome. It's the first, like the first R-rated animated movie made in Brooklyn in I don't know forever, and it stars Sam Rockwell, Steve Coogan, Jeffrey Tambor, Dave Attell, and I got to sit there at a table read with all those guys. It was amazing. So hopefully that'll be out the end of this year or soon thereafter, and I got to do some lines on Family Guy and American Dad recently. Very excited about that. And I think that's it. I don't think of what else. I don't know. I need somebody to keep track of my career. I'm terrible at it.
Well, that's some pretty good clips coming up. That's good.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, folks, listen, you can see stand-up comedian and impressionist Rachel Butera on this upcoming episode of this summer's new USA Network series, First Impressions, starring Dana Carvey and hosted by Freddie Prinze Jr. Good-looking guy, huh, Freddie Prinze?
Yeah, he's cute. It's funny because I saw him. We're at the same voiceover agency, and I saw him like a year ago. I'm like, that's Roddy Bridge Jr. And then like a year later, he's hosting the Dana Carvey show that I'm on. I'm like, you're Roddy Bridge Jr. And he's a cutie and sweet guy.
Yeah, very good. It's nice to see him working. And yeah. For people who are interested in more, the website is?
Mine?
Yeah, yours.
Oh, it's rachelbutera.com, but it's terrible. Follow me on Twitter, Rachel A. Butera. So much better there.
Well, I don't think it's terrible. It's cool. It's set up. It's like a boom box, and you can listen to clips and find stuff.
Yeah. It's old, though. It needs to be updated, and it's flash, so you can't see it on your phone. I am really selling myself. Let me tell you, I got to preface everything with, like, listen, it's not great.
This is that part where you're supposed to self-promote.
I don't know how to do that. I'm telling you, I need a manager. I don't know how to do it.
Well, and on Twitter, Rachel A. Butera, B-U-T-E-R-A.
E-R-A.
Right. Easier to probably to find on Facebook than the way I just spelled Twitter.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. Yeah. Rachel Butera, it was delightful to meet you. Congratulations on your success. And thanks for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much. You were a delight.
Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of 13-year-old boys practicing their Rich Little impersonations for an hour daily for no reason at all in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
I shut everything down. I'm just staring at the camera.
Got it. Okay.